Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Ron Frazier, and I got into coaching by a former welterweight contender by the name of Skipper Kelp. Short story, he's actually one of Dana White's good friends now. He didn't even know Dana back at the time, but he used a Jedi mind trick to get me to start coaching fighters. I was doing sports radio. UNLV has a boxing team. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Skipper Kelp started it. I was doing commentating for the boxing program. And he was like, hey, you should come over and help us coach. And I was like, hey, I don't want to help you coach. And we just struck up a great friendship. I was looking to go coach basketball. Actually, Mark Wade, former UNLV running rebel, me and him had talked about maybe joining forces and coaching college basketball. That fell through. Skip said, you know, I may have taken one too many punches to the head. I'm going on vacation. I'm taking my wife to Lake Tahoe. Can you watch my gym? He has another gym in town called Fight Capital. And he said, hey, can you help Chris Ben out at UNLV with the boxing team? I did. And after a week, he said, hey, you could really be useful for these kids. And that's what sold me. And I started training boxers, and then that led to MMA.
That's absolutely wonderful. And we'll start firing off some questions because I know it's kind of late for some of our kids in Eastern Europe. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Skipper Kelp and Coach Ben and or Coach Chris Ben. The wonderful program they've had at UNLV and alumni, go Rebs. So one of the kids, they wanted to know, how do you manage the physical and emotional health of your boxers, both inside and outside of the ring? Because you have a lot of different variables, them having to make weight and everything going on with all your fighters.
Absolutely. And, you know, one is just by talking, just kind of finding out where their head's at and kind of relating my experiences as an athlete and or other athletes to them and let them know that they're not alone in this weight cutting process if it's a tough weight cut. And, you know, just trying to make sure that their everyday life is stable, because if your home life is not good, your fight life, your sport life, whatever it is, that's going to be rocky as well. So just trying to maintain, make sure that your girlfriend or your wife, or they're engaged, they understand the process of what's going on, the time away from home, the travel and all that, and just kind of talk to them about it and give them a peace of mind.
Well said. So one of the kids, they want to know, can you talk to us a little bit about some of the bigger fighters that you've worked with in your career?
Yes. In MMA, I worked with Randy Couture, former heavyweight and light heavyweight champion of the world, UFC Hall of Famer, Forrest Griffin, Vitor Belfort, Wanderlei Silva, Rico Rodriguez, former UFC heavyweight champion, Johnny Hendricks, former lightweight champion, Gray Maynard, former contender for the title, Martin Kampmann, former contender at 170, Mike Pyle, former contender at 170, and there's more. I'm forgetting some. Oh, Frank Trigg, former two-time title challenger, former icon champion, and just many, many more throughout the years. Sometimes they weren't all. They would just be visiting the gym. Like a Tyron Woodley would come through Extreme Couture, and I'd work with him.
It's very interesting. This question kind of comes from me because I know your background. And I wanted to see if you could talk to the kids a little bit about transitioning, because you were a basketball player in college and you transitioned to a completely different sport. Had you had any background with boxing?
Yes. Yeah, I was boxing and playing basketball since I was 8 years old. My dad was a restaurateur, and I got to meet Muhammad Ali when I was 7 years old. And that was kind of that. I wanted to do that. My mom, however, did not want me boxing. And so she was pushing me more towards basketball. But some of the basketball tournaments she thought I was at were actually boxing tournaments that my dad knew I was at. So I was doing that. And then just as the years went on, I knew I would have to make a choice. And I just felt that I to be a professional boxer at the highest level, there's a risk that you have to be willing to take. And it's something that nobody really talks about, but you have to be willing to die in the ring, you know. And some fighters have said it after their career is over, but I was like, I wasn't willing to take that risk, probably because I had basketball and I loved it equally and maybe just as good, if not better at. If I only had one, then maybe boxing would have been it. But boxing is a poverty sport, if people don't know that. A lot, unless your dad or uncle is a coach, most people come from poverty. I didn't. My parents did well. I just met Muhammad Ali, who was a hero of mine and loved the sport.
I think the greatest boxer of all time, but I don't.
You won't get no argument from me.
Yeah, I don't know. I always found that such an interesting argument when people say Tyson versus Ali, like if that was a possibility, I was like, Ali every time. I don't know.
Absolutely. And Tyson knew that. The thing is Tyson built his career on intimidation. He knew fighting a guy like Ali, who was 6'3" with a 79-inch reach, he wouldn't be intimidated by him. And Mike is not the tallest heavyweight in the world. Yeah. It would have been problematic for him. He would have had to do something that no one else was able to do, and that would be knock Muhammad Ali out. Muhammad Ali against Larry Holmes, they stopped the fight in the 11th round, but Muhammad Ali was never knocked out cold or unconscious or anything like that. And for Tyson to win, that's what he would have to do.
Sure, it's as tough as they come. And I know that they were one fighter away with Trevor Burbick, that in between, that they were almost overshadowing the end of one career and the beginning of another.
So. Well, Ali should have ended his career a little earlier than that, you know, but and Tyson was a fan of Ali, and that's hard to fight your hero. So if they were in their prime and he was looking at Ali as his hero, that'd be very difficult for him to fight.
So, and guys, thank you very much for all the questions. Keep them coming. We're going to end in a little bit, but we have one question got emailed to me and they wanted to know, how do you stay up to date with the latest training techniques and technologies? How do you integrate them into your coaching practice?
I'm a student of the game, and I also have a degree in kinesiology. So I always want to keep up to date on what's going on in the world of sports medicine, what's beneficial to athletes, and that I can also translate down to regular people. But what's beneficial, what's out there, what they're doing, what new technologies out there to help the athletes get better at their craft. And then sometimes I just like take it old school, though. You know, sometimes we're in a grimy gym that has no air condition, making it just gritty and nasty in there, because when you get in those type of environments and then you train hard so the fight's easy.
That's well said. We'll go with a few more questions and we'll let you go. They wanted to know, how do you design training programs and strategies to help fighters reach their peak or athletes reach their performance level? Because you don't just work with fighters, you work with athletes in general, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's all based on what they need. Not everybody is built and designed alike, so we don't have a cookie cutter program on how we train them. I kind of design it on what they need, what they're weak at, and how can we build those weaknesses into strengths and make their strengths either better or maintain where they're at. And so with fighters, for instance, some fighters never want to watch tape of their opponents. So I make those fighters watch tape of themselves. I'll watch tape of their opponents. I want them understanding what cues they're giving off in that cage or in that ring when they're getting ready to throw whatever particular shot they want to do. So they disguise it better. If they can see what they're doing on tape, then they can see that if their opponent is watching tape of them, they can see those same things.
I bet, you know, can you talk to the kids like the very first time that you coach somebody and you were at ringside? What is that? I mean, were you scared for them? Like, what were the kind of thoughts that are going through your head?
Oh, it's a lot of anxiety for the coach that you have to suppress that anxiety. So like I'm talking to you guys is how I talk to my fighters. 99% of the time. Every now and again, I have to raise my voice and curse at a fighter when they're not listening to me. But because I don't do it on a regular basis, when I do that, they know that they're not paying attention and I need them to listen to something specific. But I just have to suppress my anxiety. And the first boxing match I ever had, my fighter got cut. And I had to close the cut and I was by myself. And I'm thinking, to me, that cut looked the size of the Grand Canyon. I'm like, they're going to stop the fight. I'm not going to be able to stop the bleeding. I don't know, why am I doing this? So many things was going through my head. But the fighter said I was calm. I told them what they needed to do. I reassured them that I could take care of the cut. I took care of the cut. It didn't reopen. And it wasn't as big as I thought it was when I look at the pictures later. But initially, I was like, oh, my God, he's going to bleed to death. I'm not going to be able to stop this.
So that's an interesting story. So one of our students, Diego, in Italy, he wanted to know, who do you think is the best MMA fighter of all time? I kind of have an idea of who you're going to answer, but go ahead.
Honestly, it's John Jones. He is the best MMA fighter of all time. He is short-circuited and derailed his career many times by just being stupid. He's done a lot of stupid things. And I would like to say that he would clean that up, but I heard some things after his last fight that leads me to believe that he won't. And, but talent-wise, and he's went in there and he's beaten everybody, no matter the style. And he's beaten some really good guys convincingly. I mean, he's beaten some other guys who are going to go to the Hall of Fame easy. Anderson Silva, outside of the guys I've trained, is probably my favorite fighter. And his run that he had of 8 years where he was just untouchable. And, nice guy, always gave me love and respect. And after he beat Forrest Griffin, we ended up in the same shuttle going to the airport the next morning. And I look up and he's like, "Coach, you're still a great coach." I was like, "I'm trying to be mad at you. Don't be nice."
I'm a huge Forrest Griffin fan. So I was like, man, that was not a fun loss. But we will end it with one final question. Is there any advice that you could give to these kids as they kind of go off into the world, whether they want to go into coaching or they want to go into athletics or they want to do something completely different? As someone who's as accomplished as you are, what kind of advice would you have for these kids as they figure out what they want to do?
Just stay focused and disciplined. If you stay focused and disciplined on the crap, whatever it is in the world you want to do, it'll come for you. Soon you lose that focus and you lose that discipline and things start going all over the place and it's hard to get back. Motivation comes and goes. If you're motivated by money, once you make money, then what? If you're motivated by fame, once you become famous, then what? But so the discipline and focus, if you keep those, you can keep it throughout your entire life and do whatever you want to do. And you're going to reinvent yourself a few times in life. If you are a professional athlete, you can't do that forever. At some point you're going to have to retire and have other interests and other things you want to do. And you take that same focus and discipline and pursuit of that you say in athletics into something else.
Well, Ron, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your valuable day to come talk to us. Before I end the meeting for all, I'm going to ask everyone, can we unmute and can we all say thank you to Coach Ron for taking time out of his valuable day to come talk to you guys a little bit about his career in MMA. Thank you so much, Ron. We appreciate it. Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Anytime. Bye. Anytime you want me back, I'd love to do it.
Yes, sir.